right now.
Test 1-2.
I told him I'd be happy to after I
eat. Ready to go? We're ready to go. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And the clerk, call the roll.
Commissioner Shajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Burke. Here. Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Wessel.
Here.
Commissioner Cram.
Here.
Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Potter.
Here.
Commissioner Kinsey.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, and I'd like to start out by saying, on behalf of the commission and the staff and everyone, the public that were invited, we would like to thank Commissioner Akajian and his staff for the great barbecue last night and the tour of Hearst Castle. It was wonderful, and you set a very high hurdle for everybody. So, very nice, a lot of fun, etc. Commissioner Akajian, would you like to say something before I go into the announcing?
I'm glad you all had a good time, and that says about our community and how hospitable they are. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. And tonight, for commissioners and staff, we'll take off from Embassy Suite at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay.
That if everything goes well here today.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then with that, I'll go back to staff, and they can announce today's changes to the agenda and the procedures.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the public. For the audience, if you wish to speak on an item on today's agenda, you'll need to fill out a speaker slip, which is located on the staff table just outside the meeting room. When you're in the meeting room, please turn off all cell phones or other wireless devices in the chamber. These devices interfere with our webcast. Next, I'll go over the changes for today's agenda, starting on page 7. There are no changes on page 7. Moving on to page 8, item 9A, City of Ventura LCP Amendment 2-07 is postponed. Item 10A, City of Ventura LCP Amendment 1-07 is postponed. Moving on to page 9, item 11C, the CON application, moved to consent. And item 11D, which is listed in your addendum, on your agenda addendum, the Jodel Levowich application is postponed. That's item 11D.
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 Okay, that's why.
Postponed.
Yes.
Okay.
On page 10, item 16C, the San Luis Obispo LCP Amendment 2-04 is postponed. And page 11, item 17A, the Cannery Row Marketplace application is postponed. And that concludes the changes for today's agenda.
Okay. Very good. So yesterday we trailed statewide, and if it's okay with the executive director and staff, we'll start with statewide, and we'll cover that first. So, approval of the minutes on 14. Is there,
Mr. Chairman,
Director Douglas? I'm sorry.
So you're going to take up statewide now?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah. Unless you do, you want to do it later?
My suggestion would be that we trail it because there are some issues I want to discuss.
Okay.
Legislative report. Ms. Christie isn't here, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. So.
No, I didn't either until I just realized we might be doing this.
No
now,
problem. So. We'll trail it then.
Okay. And let me just ask everybody. All the commissioners and people who are testifying, please to speak into the microphone closely. Our court reporter, Priscilla, became ill yesterday and went home. So we don't have a court reporter. She's going to have to work off the tape recording of or the recording of the testimony today. So please, everybody, make an effort to speak into the mic. And we'll remind you if you don't. So... With that,
on behalf of everybody, we're sad to see Priscilla go home, but somebody please check on her today and let us all know, you know.
Right. The fact she could drive home was actually kind of a good sign.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, moving on to item three is the Deputy Director's Report for the South Coast District. Ms. Saab presented the South Coast District Director's Report yesterday, and I have no additional items to address in the District Director's Report. So I'll move on to item number four, which are the administrative permits for the South Coast District. And staff did receive an objection letter to item 4A, which is distributed in your addendum packet. It's a separate item this morning. The permit is for a small storage shed located at the Navy Yacht Club in Los Alamitos Bay in Long Beach. The person objecting to the permit raises concerns regarding the condition of the existing structure that has been on the site for many years. He is objecting to the drinking of alcohol on the property and claims the fenced area on the property was previously used as a park. The fenced area surrounding the Navy Yacht Club has never been used as a public park, and it is leased to the Yacht Club. He also claims a storage shed will be an eyesore. In staff's opinion, this very small 258 square foot shed will not adversely impact any public views, public access, or public lands, and we think it is consistent with the policies of the Coastal Act. Therefore, staff recommends that this item remain on the administrative calendar, and staff is not aware of any opposition to the other items on the administrative calendar and recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination that these items qualify as administrative permits.
Any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
The next item is item number five, and these are consent calendar permits for the South Coast District. Staff is not aware of any opposition to the permit applications on the consent calendar and recommends the commission vote and approve the consent calendar.
Move approval.
Moved by Commissioner Akagian and seconded by Commissioner Potter. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the consent calendar.
The next item is item 6A, and these are revised findings for Coastal Development 506-481. The applicant is William Abbott. At the February 7, 2008 Commission meeting, the Commission approved this coastal development permit for the demolition of existing single-family residence and a subdivision of a 2,700-square-foot parcel into two parcels and the construction of two residences on each of these parcels. The property is located in the city of Venice area in the city of Los Angeles. The Commission approved the development with vehicular access driveways for both an alleyway and the main street fronting the property instead of alleyway access only, which is typically required in Venice. The Commission found that in this particular case, the parking would be improved by the creation of one new public parking space on the main street fronting the residence and the provision of four new on-site spaces in garages on the property. Staff is recommending the Commission adopt the revised findings in support of the Commission's decision on this permit. And the applicant is in agreement with the revised findings. I'd like to note that only those commissioners on the prevailing side of the commission action are eligible to vote on revised findings. And the commissioners on the prevailing side in this case are Commissioner Akagian, Blank, Burke, Clark, Gonzalez, Neely, Riley, Secord, Schallenberger, Juan, and Kruer. The motion for approval can be found on page 2 of the staff report. That concludes staff's presentation.
Okay, we have no speaker slips. Let's go ask first if there's any ex parties, starting on my left. No ex parties from any of the commissioners. Okay, and that is there a motion from one of the eligible commissioners? Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move. I move that the Commission adopt the revised findings proposed by staff in support of the Commission's action of February 7, 2008, approving with conditions Coastal Development Permit 5-06-481 and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Clark, seconded by Commissioner Akagian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the adoption of the revised findings that are set forth in this staff report. Do you want to speak to your motion?
No, I think staff has covered it adequately, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Commissioner Kajian?
No, sir.
Anything else? Okay, is all those commissioners on they're eligible to vote? Would you raise your hand and ask him for a yes vote? And that's 1, 2. What's the count?
Eight.
Yeah, it's unanimous. Do we need to name the, because Priscilla's not here, do we need to, for the record, I'm trying to make sure the record's straight here.
If it's unanimous, I think that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, unanimous is fine. Thank you. Okay. Move on.
All right, the next item is item number 7, which is the Deputy Director's report for the South Central District, which is a list of the waivers, immaterial amendments, and immaterial extensions for the district. Staff is not aware of any oppositions to the items on the District Director's report and recommends the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination on these matters.
Any objection to finding concurrence on these matters? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
The next item is item 7.5A, which is listed on your addendum to your agenda, and this is a de minimis notice of impending development for a small NOAA weather station at Coal Oil Point Reserve on the campus of the University of California at Santa Barbara. The station will be placed on a previously disturbed area that will not adversely impact any coastal resources, and the proposed project is consistent with a certified long-range development plan for the university. Therefore, staff is recommending the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination that this notice of impending development qualifies as a de minimis. And that concludes my presentation on that item.
Any objection to finding concurrence with the Executive Director's determination that this is de minimis? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
Next item is item number 8, and these are the permit items staff is recommending be moved to the consent calendar. And staff is recommending one regular calendar item be moved to the consent calendar. And that item is item 16C, the CON application. And staff recommends the Commission vote and approve this item.
Okay, motion. Moved by Commissioner Weso, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on the consent calendar? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves the consent calendar.
The next item up is item 19C. The City of Malibu is requesting
which
an
amendment. Which item? 9C?
Oh, I'm sorry. 9C.
That was
I'm
quick.
Jumping way ahead.
I'd say you're moving quickly. I do appreciate that. Indeed.
I apologize. Item 9C. The City of Malibu is requesting an amendment to the land use plan and coastal zoning ordinance of its certified local coastal program. The proposed LUP and IP amendment involves changing the land use designation and zoning designations for three parcels fronting, three beachfront parcels from a multifamily beachfront residential to a commercial visitor serving designation. The subject properties are on Pacific Coast Highway in the Carbon Beach area in the City of Malibu. A restaurant has been on this site since 1973, and the site has not been used for residential use. The properties were mistakenly designated in the LCP as multifamily residential designation, and this designation was carried over to the LCP from the city's general plan, and that's how that happened. The city is requesting to amend the land use and zoning designation on these properties to correct this mistake, and staff is recommending approval of the LCP amendment as submitted, and the two motions for approval can be found on pages 4 and 5 of the staff report, and that concludes staff's presentation on this item.
We have no speaker slips. Any ex-parties? Starting on my left. No ex-parties of the commissioners? Okay. Commissioners, your pleasure.
I just needed it so I can see that.
Motion?
Sorry.
There's a couple of motions. Okay. If page 4.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Commission reject local implementation plan amendment number 207 as submitted by...
No, hold on. No, I think it's...
That's 9C?
9C. Does everybody need a cup of coffee here? Okay, Commissioner... Are you ready? Commissioner Akajian? I'm sorry.
He's got it. I move that the Commission certify land use plan amendment number 207 as submitted by the City of Malibu. And recommend a yes vote.
Okay. Second. Moved by Commissioner Akajian, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the certification of the land use plan as submitted and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Akaji?
No, sir.
Vice Chair Neely? Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves, so they hereby certify the land use plan amendment number 207 as submitted for the city of Malibu and adopts the findings that are set forth in this staff report here. The second motion.
I move that the commission reject local implementation plan amendment number 207 as submitted by the city of Malibu. We recommend a no vote.
Moved by Commissioner Akajian and seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a no vote. Failure of this motion will result in the certification of the implementation plan amendment as submitted and the adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in the staff report. Commissioner Akajian, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, sir.
Vice Chair Neely?
No, thank
you. Is there any objection to unanimous no roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission hereby certifies the City of Malibu Implementation Plan Amendment as submitted and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report. Okay? We'll jump
yes,
to...
the next item up is item 10A, and there is a PowerPoint presentation on this.
I thought you said that was postponed during the the changes in today's agenda.
No, not 10A.
Well, that's what you said. I mean,
I must have...
I trashed my material. So not only do we need coffee, but you need coffee.
No, that was 9A and 9B.
No, that isn't what you said.
Well, I was mistaken then.
You said, because we did cross off 10A, and I was surprised.
I'm sorry about that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to get him coffee.
We've got the numbers all messed up today.
It wasn't on the sheet, but he didn't mention it.
I'm sorry, that was a mistake. So it's 9A and 9B that were postponed.
So let the record reflect that 10A is on the agenda and we'll take it up now.
Yes, and that gave us time to pull up the PowerPoint, I hope.
I have it on my computer, so I'm okay.
Okay.
All righty, now we're ready to roll. And item 10A is a substantial issue hearing on an appeal of a City of Carpinteria coastal development permit. The applicant is the City of Carpinteria Public Works Department. The appellants in this case are listed on the front of the staff report. The proposed project is the demolition of an existing wooden pedestrian bridge, including the removal of six wooden support piers in the stream channel and the construction of a clear span steel arch style bridge 165 feet in length, 5.5 feet in width, with an arch extending about 16.5 feet at its highest point. The bridge construction will require the removal of two willows and one sycamore tree. The tree stumps and root systems will be left in place to allow for resprouting of the trees. And the city is also proposing to mitigate for the loss of these trees at a 5-to-1 mitigation ratio for the willows and a 10-to-1 mitigation ratio for the sycamore tree. The project originally included the removal of one of the trunks of a very large three-trunk sycamore tree. However, the City Council added a condition at the hearing on this item to the permit that requires avoiding the removal of the trunk of this tree. The project also includes the relocation of overhead utility lines above the bridge to a conduit under the bridge. Deck, additionally, an existing storm drain will be placed with a new inlet basin and drainage pipe that includes an oil and truss separation unit. The proposed pedestrian bridge is located on the western and eastern end of Calle Ocho and 8th Street over Carpinteria Creek. And this slide shows a picture of Carpinteria Creek. And Carpinteria Creek is a natural creek with a very dense riparian vegetation along its length within the city. It is considered to be a very important regional wildlife movement corridor as it provides water, foraging habitat, and cover and direct connection between coastal resources and upstream foothills through an area that's dominated by agricultural and urban uses. This creek is known to contain steelhead trout, tidewater goby, red-legged frogs, and over 200 bird species. The proposed bridge will replace an old wooden bridge that is in deteriorated condition and is beyond the point of repair. The old bridge was supported on six six piles that are in the creek, as can be seen on this slide. The new bridge is a free span design and does not require any piles in the creek. And staff is recommending commission find that there's no substantial issue in this case with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. The appellants assert that the arch bridge design is inconsistent with the city's LCP because it will allow for the removal of the trunk of the giant specimen sycamore tree and adversely impact the sensitive creek resources. Arch design obstructs views by placing the two 12-inch diameter pipes overhead of the bridge, and three, creates a public safety hazard by placing critical bridge support structures below the 100-year flood flow level. The appeal also contends that an alternative H-truss bridge design is preferred here because this design would avoid impacts and inconsistencies with the LCP. The city analyzed the impacts of the arched bridge design compared to the H-truss design. Approximately 3 feet of the H-truss structure would be placed below the bridge deck, and 4 feet of the truss structure would be placed above the bridge deck, as you can see on this slide. The deck for the truss bridge would have to be raised 2 feet higher than the deck proposed for the arch bridge in order for the bottom of the H-truss to maintain a 2-foot vertical clearance above the projected water level during a 100-year flood flow event. The city found that that increase of 2 feet in the deck height would require the importation of more fill at each ends of the bridges, and that's more than what would be required for the arch bridge in order to ramp up to the truss bridge. Part of this expanded fill pad footprint would result in more grading within the riparian corridor than what is required for the arch bridge design, and could affect and require the removal of additional trees along the west bank of the creek just upstream from the bridge. Therefore, the additional fill for the H-truss design would likely require more fill and impacts to the riparian vegetation than the arch bridge design. In addition, as I mentioned, the City Council did add a condition that required the actual footing on the east bank may be moved upstream or downstream during the final design and construction for the purpose of avoiding the removal of the southern trunk of this triple-trunked sycamore tree that is located immediately north of the bridge, as can be seen on this slide. And that very large trunk that hangs over the bridge will be preserved. The city staff has indicated that it is likely the arch bridge, can be maneuvered in there with a crane without removing the trunk. Or at the most, the abutment would have to be moved 1 to 3 feet downstream to avoid the removal of that sycamore trunk. The city also analyzed the visual impacts of the arch bridge design compared to the H-truss design and determined the arch bridge is appropriately scaled and consistent with the character of the area. The arch bridge design includes design elements that will be compatible with the rural feel of the area and minimize visual impacts of the bridge. The proposed bridge is nestled within the riparian corridor and is only visible from the street end approaches, and therefore it will not result in any significant adverse view impacts. The City of Carpinteria uses discretion in choosing this bridge design that they believe is compatible with the surrounding area, and staff agrees with that conclusion. Regarding the appellant's assertion that the ends of the arches that are attached to the abutments are not above the 100-year flood flow as required by the LCP, the city clarified that the bridge deck is 2 feet above the 100-year flood level, but the end of the arch tubes at the abutment are placed below the bridge deck and will encroach within the 100-year floodplain. However, those two areas are not considered to be contributing to any hydraulic capacity of the channel. In other words, the portion of the bridge that attaches to the abutments are essentially outside the stream channel and are part of the support structure for the bridge, and then will not be adversely impacted by any 100-year flood event. Furthermore, the removal of the six piers in the creek channel will have a positive effect on flood flows and water surface levels in this particular location. Staff believes the city's decision regarding this permit application was correct, and therefore staff is recommending the commission find that no substantial issue exists in this case. The motion for no substantial issue can be found on page 4 of the staff report, and that concludes staff's presentation on this item.
Thank you very much for the presentation. At this time, ex partes, starting on my left, Commissioner Kajian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Tuesday the 8th, in 9:30 in the morning, I received a phone call from the Carpinteria City Manager, Dave Dorflinger. Spoke a little bit about the bridge, the age, the wood structure, and that they were in an agreement with the staff's recommendation and the new bridge to be a custom design, pre-span with steel material.
Okay. Any other commissioners? Okay. With that, then, I'll open the public hearing. We have, because staff is recommending no substantial issue, we'll go first to the appellant. And Gene Reardon, do you represent the appellant? You can come up. And under the rules, it's 3 minutes per side because of staff recommending no substantial issue.
Okay.
So you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thanks for hearing me. Commissioners, my name is Jean Reardon. I'm just going to be brief. I'm going to read something here regarding the appeal.
Sure.
The City of Carpinteria was provided with two alternative footbridge designs. These were the Arch Bridge and the H Truss Bridge. Both designs would meet project objectives and GP policies with respect to the removal of piers or other construction in the riparian corridor, and they would meet city objectives except that the Arch Bridge's overhead arches will obstruct riparian views from the nearest public place, which is the bridge deck, and the Arch Bridge could require removal of a large riparian sycamore tree located on the bank to allow for the arches. The city's conditions include a prohibition against cutting down this tree, but condition number 8 allows modifications to the approved project over the counter for minor and major to be reviewed by the City Council. The city's acting public works director has stated he needed to keep the tree removal option available because the plans had not been sufficiently developed at the time of the hearing to know if the tree had to come out or not. The H Trust design will not require sycamore tree removal because it has no arches. The Arch Bridge violates a number of the city policies as noted in our appeal, and the H Trust Bridge does not violate these. I feel that violation of the laws and policies is a substantial issue, and I urge you to consider this case closely. And if I have time, I'd like to just read two short little things that were part of the appeal, just starting mid-paragraph here. The Arch Bridge design was selected by the City Council. That design, however, could allow for the removal of the southern trunk of the giant specimen sycamore tree with full riparian canopy. Per the testimony of the city's acting public works director on the April 8th, 2008 meeting, it is the placement of the arches that interfere with the southernmost sycamore tree trunk. Expert testimony at that hearing by a member of the city's tree advisory board warned that removal of that trunk threatened the structure of the entire tree. Loss of the entire tree would cause severe erosion on the east bank of Carpinteria Creek. The alternative design, the modified H Truss, would not require the removal of the tree trunk. The appeal also states the project is inconsistent with the above-cited policies because, quote, the arch bridge design will allow removal of existing native plants, further threaten native plants, and remove sensitive habitat, and would obstruct public views of the riparian canopy. The arch bridge does not fit quietly into the surroundings, but imposes a large structure upon the landscape. The modified H Trust design better fits into the open space and better defers to native and sensitive habitats. Again, that was part of a comment of a member of the city's tree advisory board. And lastly, I'd just like to say there was a petition, and over 900 people signed that petition asking to please not put up the arch design bridge because it just because of everything I just read. And it also doesn't really fit with the city's charm and quality that we live in. And I do have a picture. We saw the arch design. I have some more pictures, but I think one that you had up there really shows the trees, all those trees that hang over that bridge. We don't see how it could possibly
Your time is up. In fact, you've had an extra minute. We had a technical breakdown here with the clock. So well, to be fair to the applicant, the clock right here.
Okay.
You know. So we'll give the thank you very much for your testimony, though. And now we'll have the city that will come up, the applicant, Jackie Campbell. And if you want to take Ms. Campbell an extra minute and you want 4 minutes, that's fine. We want to be fair on both sides.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jackie Campbell. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Carpinteria. We have a letter from the Mayor of Carpinteria urging you to support your staff recommendation for finding no substantial issue in this matter. The city spent considerable time in review of the design and plans for this bridge. The 8th Street Bridge is an important pedestrian bridge in our community as it connects neighborhoods to locations where we have schools, et cetera, and is a link for alternative transportation between neighborhoods and our downtown. Our staff planner, Nick Barboff, is here today if there are any detailed questions, as well as our interim public works director, Mr. Tom Evans, and we can respond to any questions that you have. We do believe that our plans have been sufficiently developed and reviewed publicly. We did hold conceptual review meetings with our city council to discuss the design of the structure. We prepared a mitigated negative declaration that concluded that all potentially significant impacts would be reduced to less than significant levels. We have an extensive restoration plan. We believe that the arch design does provide an elegant solution to the requirement to free span this natural creek, and that the impacts from the truss bridge would be more significant than the value provided by the difference in the two design styles. We do think that the arch bridge is an elegant solution to this requirement for the free span, and we recognize that it does improve the habitat value by allowing elimination of those piles that have been in the creek for many years. With the truss bridge requiring more grading, it would create greater impacts to the creek bank on both sides of the creek, and we will do everything possible to maintain the mature trees in this area as it is an environmentally sensitive habitat. So I have no further comments, but I'm available if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. With that, I'll close the public hearing and go back to Mr. Ainsworth, back to staff for your response.
I don't have any further comments. I think it was all covered in my presentation and in Ms. Campbell's comments. Thank you.
I'll go back then to the commission, to my colleagues.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Ocasio?
I move that the commission determine that appeal number A4CPN08024 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Recommend a yes vote.
Been moved by Commissioner Ocasio and seconded by Vice Chair Neely, both the maker and second, asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the finding of no substantial issue and adoption of the following resolutions and findings. If you wish to speak to your motion, Commissioner Akasha.
Those there, the pictures speak for themselves.
Okay, Vice Chair Neely? Okay, before, and Commissioner Schallenberger, right?
Just a question to staff. We heard from the appellant that three-trunked sycamore, whereas they're going to try and save it, that the city acknowledges that they may not be able to. How confident are you that with the arched bridge that tree will both remain and remain healthy?
Yes, through the chair, we did contact the city and asked that specific question, and they indicated that it was likely they could just crane that bridge in there, and if they can't do that, then they can just move it slightly downstream 1 to 3 feet, and they're confident that they could miss that trunk and not have to remove it. So that was the response we received from the city.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner Schallenberg. We have a motion, and both the maker and second again are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves, hereby finds that appeal number A4-CPN-08-024 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act regarding consistency with the certified LCP. We'll go to 11A.
Yes, the next item is 11A, and there's a PowerPoint for this item as well. If you could pull that up, please.
Just moving all the speakers.
And item 11A is the de novo permit review for an appeal of a City of Malibu Coastal Development Permit where the Commission previously found substantial issue here. And the applicant is Richard Margolis. The property is, the proposed development is for the construction of a 5,200-square-foot single-family residence with a six-car, 1,368-square-foot garage, a pool, and a septic system. Staff is recommending approval of the subject permit, subject to 12 special conditions outlined on page 3 through 11 of the staff report. The subject property is an 8,000-square-foot property located in Malibu Colony on the inland side of Malibu Colony Drive, and the property backs up to Malibu Lagoon Creek State Park, as can be seen on this slide here. The Malibu Lagoon Estuary is designated as an environmentally sensitive habitat area in the Malibu LCP. Between the applicant's property and the lagoon, there is a state park's access road that runs to the beach. However, a portion of the subject property is situated within the 100-foot ESHA buffer from the lagoon. And that shot provides another perspective of the property. The property is vacant and contains two Monterey cypress trees and two ficus trees. And there is a windrow of approximately 14 Monterey cypress trees that line the western property boundary, but are located on the neighboring property. According to the applicant's consulting arborist, six of the 14 trees are in a healthy condition, and the trees are located on that western property boundary here, as can be seen on this slide here. The issues in this case involve the appropriate setback from the Malibu Lagoon ESHA, the ESHA status of the cypress trees on the neighboring property, and the preservation and protection of the cypress trees. With regard to the ESHA buffer from the lagoon, the Malibu LCP does require a 100-foot setback from the upland limit of wetland vegetation. The applicant's consulting biologist conducted a wetlands delineation on state park property and found that the off-site wetland is 67 feet from the applicant's rear property line. Therefore, 33 feet of the required 100-foot buffer is situated on the subject property, as can be seen on this slide. And this slide has been certified by the applicant's architect as being the appropriate scale. The Commission's staff biologist, Dr. John Engel, did have some concerns regarding the lack of sampling data for an area designated as upland that contains some salt bush. The applicant's consultants conducted additional field assessments and sampling in this area to address this question. The consultants found that the salt bush scrub polygon did not qualify as wetland because upland vegetation was dominant in this area, hydrology was absent, and soils were non-hydric. And Dr. Engel concurred with the conclusions of that wetland delineation. In addition, that relatively small strip of upland vegetation on either side of the access road and next to the wetland is predominantly non-native vegetation, according to the applicant's consulting biologist. While the upland areas adjacent to the applicant's property and Malibu Lagoon do provide transitional habitat and wetland buffer functions, the upland areas do not contain plant or animal life or habitat that we believe is rare or especially valuable. Therefore, we don't believe the upland vegetation can be or meets the definition of ESHA. The 100-foot buffer extends 33 feet, as I said, into the applicant's property, and the proposed residence and accessory development does comply with that 100-foot ESHA. The applicant has redesigned the subsurface dispersal field for the wastewater treatment system on the site to comply with that 100-foot setback. Previously, that septic field was located within a 33-foot buffer area, and the city did not address that in their permit. And the applicant has subsequently moved that on this here, and it's designated on in green on this slide. I should also point out that State Parks has submitted a coastal development permit for the reconfiguration and restoration of Malibu Lagoon. The proposed reconfiguration of the lagoon adjacent to the subject property will move the lagoon and wetland areas away from the subject property and will include a larger upland habitat area. However, the upland area will be restored with native vegetation, and that area will be considered to be Esha. The plan also calls for an interpretive overlook at this right in front of this property. However, I should note that this permit application is still incomplete, and the Malibu Lagoon Restoration Plan is still moving through the planning phase. So at this point, we don't know what the final configuration is, so we have to go by what's on the ground as it exists today. The other issue in this case involves the Esha status of the cypress trees on the neighboring parcel and measures to protect those trees. The city did not analyze whether or not these trees met or failed to meet the definition of Esha. The applicant's consulting biologist found that the trees were being utilized by osprey, great egret, black-crowned night heron, great blue heron, red-shouldered hawk, Cooper's hawk, red-tailed hawk, and the great horned owl. In particular, herons and egrets roost in these trees when not actively feeding in Malibu Lagoon Estuary. Monterey cypress trees are not native to this region of California and are not afforded protection under the city's native tree protection ordinance. However, there is evidence in the record to suggest that these trees do provide a valuable role in the estuary ecosystem. The trees provide benefits to bird species that utilize them in that they provide roosting habitat near areas where they forage in the Malibu Lagoon Estuary. The height of the trees and that dense foliage provide protection from disturbance and predators. However, the trees have not been used or historically used as a nesting site for any of these species. A California Department of Fish and Game comment letter to the city states that the cypress trees provide roosting habitat for herons and raptors, but nesting activity has never been documented there. The trees are located in a built-out residential neighborhood subject to a lot of disturbance, and neither of these trees or bird species that use them are rare or easily disturbed or especially valuable because of their special role in the ecosystem. Therefore, we do not consider the trees to be to meet the definition of Esha. However, I should note that these trees do provide habitat value for roosting raptors and wading birds and provide potential nesting habitat and therefore warrants protection measures to ensure the roosting and nesting habitat is not lost here. The cypress trees that provide roosting habitat are all located on the neighboring property. The trees will require pruning to accommodate the proposed two-story structure, and the applicant has requested a minor modification to reduce the side yard setback for the second story of the residence on the eastern side of the residence from 6.52 feet to 5 feet. And this is on the opposite side of the residence from the trees. And there's been some confusion with regard to the required side yard setbacks in this case. The project is in conformance with the LCP required side yard setbacks for the ground floor of the residence. A slightly larger setback was required on the eastern side of the residence to avoid a drainage pipe that runs along the property line. The applicant requested a minor modification for the side yard setback for the second story of the residence to cantilever out about a foot over the ground floor on the eastern side, which is the opposite side of where the trees are. The applicant did not request a minor modification for the side yard setback on the side the trees are located on. In consultation with the arborist, the applicant has designed a foundation system for the residence to avoid disturbance to the root zone of the trees. The foundation is a mat-type foundation that includes a cantilever over the recommended root zone, and the portion of the residence that is that's closest to one of the trees has been redesigned to comply with a three-trunk rule as recommended by the arborist. Some of the opponents of the project have suggested a caisson-grade beam foundation would be a better option to avoid and minimize impacts to the root zones. However, the applicant's geotechnical engineer does not recommend a caisson-grade beam foundation in this case due to unsuitable silt lenses in the alluvium substrate and the depth that you'd have to go to sink the caissons to provide stability, which could impact the rig to bring those type of 50 to 60 foot caissons in place, could disturb the crown of the tree. To ensure the cypress trees are not adversely impacted during construction, staff is recommending tree protection measures as outlined in Special Condition 11. And Special Condition 12 also requires nesting surveys prior to construction, and should nests be found during construction, all construction would have to cease until the birds have fledged. Staff is also recommending a new provision to the landscape condition that is outlined in your addendum packet that prohibits tree trimming during the nesting season. If tree trimming is necessary to avoid immediate health or safety or property damage, a qualified biologist is required to survey the trees for nesting activity, and if any nesting behavior is observed, the applicant will be required to obtain a permit or an emergency permit for that tree trimming. In addition, the tree trimming of the cypress trees must be done under the supervision of a qualified arborist and biologist to ensure the proposed trimming will not compromise the tree's ability to support nests or roosting habitat. This slide here shows the, it's kind of difficult to see, but this is the story poles that were constructed to show the height of the residence in relation to the cypress trees as seen from Malibu Lagoon State Park. Staff has received letters from Mr. Steve Littlejohn, the original appellant, Pat, and Pat Healy and Frank Angel, raising concerns and questions regarding the adequacy, or the accuracy, really, of the 100-foot ESHA buffer measurement, the ESHA status of the cypress trees, and setbacks and protective measures for the trees. Your addendum packet includes a response to these issues, and I've addressed the most substantive issues in this presentation. Your addendum packet also includes some minor corrections to the staff report. And in conclusion, staff is recommending approval of the permit subject to the conditions outlined in the staff report and in the staff report addendum. And the project as conditioned, we believe, is consistent with the certified Malibu Local Coastal Program. And the motion for approval can be found on page 2 of the staff report. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Ainsworth. With that, I'll come back to the commission for ex parte, starting on my left, Commissioner Akajian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Wednesday 2nd at 4:30 p.m., I received a telephone call from Mr. Don Schmidt. Pretty much he's in support of staff's recommendation and agree with the findings. Then on Monday the 7th at 1:15 in the afternoon, I received a call from Sean Daugherty. Same message. Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Akajian. Commissioner Wiesel.
Yes, on Monday, July 7th, my staff member, Lonzo Gonzalez, spoke with Don Smith on behalf of the applicant. Don explained that the project boundary proposed respects the ESHA and provides a buffer as well. My staff member also spoke with Tom Littlejohn on behalf of the appellants. Mr. Littlejohn explained that there is a legitimate controversy over the proposed project boundary and its proximity to the wetlands. This project will set a negative precedent for the future developments in the area by encroaching upon the ESHA.
Vice Chair Neely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My ex partes are on file.
I had an ex parte of Tuesday of this week from Steve Littlejohn, a phone call. We traded back and forth and I talked to him, and he said essentially what Commissioner Wiesel said that to his staff person, and was concerned about the project and opposed it. Mr. Kinsey?
Yes, on Wednesday, July 2nd in the afternoon, I met with Tony Littlejohn for the appellant, and there were several issues raised. The issue of the accuracy of the 100-foot setback from ESHA, also discussion about alternative foundation proposal with using caissons instead of grade beams. There was also discussion about the location and placement of the pool with a suggestion about an above-ground pool alternative, and there were concerns raised about the leach field and its impact by having moved the leach field to the front of the house. And finally, there was a request to deny the request of reducing the side yard setback. Thank you.
I had one more, too, as I walked in here this morning. Pat Healy mentioned the same issues that were raised by Commissioner Kinsey, and also said she'd rather see this postponed. And they're real concerned about the measurements of the setbacks and the leach field, and so that could be moved forward more of the house, and some of the same concerns that were reported by Commissioner Kinsey. Commissioner Blank?
My ex parties are on file from the appellant, Tony Littlejohn, and the applicant represented by Sean Daugherty. Driving up here Tuesday night, I got a phone call from Don Schmitz in support of the applicant, essentially describing the same issues as Commissioner Waso and others have mentioned.
Thank you, Commissioner Blank. Commissioner Potter.
Mr. Chair, I had a conversation last night with Schmitz and Daugherty, identical to that described by Commissioner Akajian.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Potter. Commissioner Burke.
Last night I had a conversation exactly like the one reported by Commissioner Potter.
Thank you, sir. With that, I'll open the public hearing. And again, I'm going to, both for the applicant and the appellants, will give you a bind time. So some of you people that are with, there's quite a few speaker slips here that are part of the appellants. So make sure that you, and when you come up, when I begin with the appellants, that your time is together. So if you ask, you need 15 minutes, you need to break it up because there's several of you. Commissioner, yes, Don Schmitz.
Thank
How
you.
Much time, sir, are you asking for?
15 minutes, Mr. Chair. There's other speaker slips which are part of the entitlement team. Fred Gaines, the attorney, our geologist is here. Mr. Greg Moffett, our arborist, is here. They're here to answer questions.